You know, a lot of times I focus on the wrong stuff. I just do. I think as human beings, that's kind of where we head, you know. It's like I think, well, you know, should I get Mexican food or Thai food today? Ah, McDonald's. No, I don't know. You know, but I just skip right over because it's become such a normal thing. I get to eat. Wow. God provides for me. I don't walk around in that, maybe you're much better than me, but I get into habits, you know, and they're about the choices that I'm making. I feel like I'm in a job I don't really like. When will God give me the time I can spend to do the things I want to do? And I forget God's got me and using me moment by moment. I focus on the wrong stuff. Like I said, I'm a human being. I think many of us do. And yeah, I you know, another sunny day in Bellingham. When is it going to rain? Please, Lord, let it rain. My daily prayer. Don't get mad at me. I love it when it rains. But I forget another day to be alive. Amazing. I'm not really talking about gratitude. It's good to have gratitude. We ought to. You know, I'm thinking about the ways in which I'm cared for. I experience life. And I just don't focus on the right stuff. I forget the main piece a lot. So we come together as a church family again to come around the wonder what God's done for us. Oh, he's amazing for us. Like last week, you know, the disciples, remember with fantastic. They come to Jesus. They say, teach us to pray. They want to know the formula. And the answer is this unique, amazing truth that we get to take into our hearts. You've got a father. You're praying to your dad, not like some earthly dad, a perfect dad who knows what you need and gives it to you. Thanks, Nathan. Nathan brought that to us. Really, really good. And this piece of, oh, wait, it's not about the form. It's not about the word. I better pray those six things. You've got a father. Does that permeate you? Do you take it in? Do you receive that? It's absolutely incredible. So today, it's a title of a sermon that seems, oh, yeah, trusting Jesus. That's Sunday school. I got that already, Dax. Let's go focus on others. No, wait. The Bible brings us in these passages that we're prone to skip through to say, telling us about our Savior and how, as it comes into us, we trust him. So that's what we're looking at today in Luke chapter 11. And if you want to go there, we're starting with Jesus is stronger. Here's what I want to focus on. In my flesh, what I want to focus on is how does Jesus do these things? I want to focus on what's a demon? I want to focus on how do you take demons out? But I'm going to talk about the reality of the demonic, and I want a proof. My scientific mind wants to go play with it. But the reality is, who is Jesus? What's your relationship with Jesus? Jesus is stronger. Jesus is greater. You can lean on him. He does have you. We're simply receivers. And what does that mean? Okay, so we start with stronger, and it's in verse 14 that we pick it up of chapter 11, and it says this. It says, now he, that's Jesus, was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and all the people marveled. Ha ha, sweet. And what? Have you ever heard of that? Have you heard of the mute demon that comes in you and it prevents you from speaking? I've never heard of such a thing. I get a little bit like, I don't even know. Tell me more about the mechanics of that. I want to know about... So wait, the demon came into him and it affected his vocal cords. He was unable to, or was it like his vocal cords weren't actually affected, but he was trying to talk, but he was trying to push out the words and he couldn't. I don't know. Is he surrounded by a cone of silence? My mind goes there. I go into like, oh, now I'm going to like speculate about the demonic, but we're told exactly what it is. I don't know. I know this. He did not speak. And Jesus cast out this particular demon and he spoke. It's not the mechanics. The issue is, what does it mean? That's the reality, right? Because some of them, it says right away, some of them are watching this amazing scene, and some of them says, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. Okay, I don't even understand. Some of them, I get what they're saying, right? Some people are saying, he's demonic, that's how he can deal with the demonic. And other people were saying, give us a sign from heaven. That's one I don't understand, because isn't that a sign from heaven that you cast out a demon? That sounds very heavenly signish to me. But the reality is, they say, that's not proof. I have no idea what you just did, but are you really from God? Well, maybe you're on a fake-out mission. Man, maybe you don't really have enough power. You need to show us more. And it says Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebul. Yeah, your argument makes no sense, says Jesus. Like you're thinking I'm faking out who? Who are you that I have to convince you? Did you see what I just did? The answer is, of course they saw it. And they want him to continue to prove. They don't want to hear. They saw it. They didn't understand. It didn't break their framework of them being the judges based on the law and based what God, they felt God had already told them. They were focused on, how do I validate whether Jesus is real? And him just casting out some demon, no, he could actually be trying to verify himself to us by doing a sign. And I've seen those movies, haven't you? It's called Undercover Cop. Maybe he's undercover. Interesting. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it's by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay, I want you to see the interaction, because it's exposing. They don't really want to receive this Jesus. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm doing. They're not denying that he just cast out a demon. There's not this question of what smoke and mirrors did he use to fake. The guy wasn't really mute. He didn't really have the inability to speak. No, it's like in the text accepted. They all saw it. They said, yes, that is amazing. But maybe you're doing it to fake us out. Or maybe that's a good first sign, but let's see some more. And Jesus says, look, I'm doing real rescuing. You don't understand the frame. You're focused on the wrong things. If power has come upon you, if the finger of God is working, then this is the kingdom rescuing the helpless and the mute from Satan. That's what it is. That's a pretty good sign, isn't it? I mean, a finger of God, he's casting out demons. That's something you should respond to. We'll let those who've cast out demons decide if they're demonic. Your people that you know who have cast out demons in the name of God, Jewish exorcism, you say, that, well, maybe they're demonic too, huh? Here's the thing. There's power here. You see that? Do you see that where Jesus is, there's real power? And there's so much power, we don't even understand what it actually is. And instead of being in awe, so much like them, I feel like we... them realizing they don't have power and Jesus just did something incredible, they look for loopholes. Let's try a non-mute one next. I think the mute one is a low-power demon, don't you? How do you know? Now, the finger of God, God's hand, precious ones, more than we understand. Why can't you trust him? That would be my question to these guys. Look what just happened. Why can't you trust him? And what's going on? Here's one thing where the focus was missed. Because he says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever's not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. What? Okay, where did that come from? What's Jesus talking about? You don't understand. You don't understand how strong Jesus is. That's what he just said. He's saying, yeah, there's a strong man. He's in a stronghold. He's got his armor. This is the demon. We've got it. We're set. We know what's coming. We're ready to fight. But when someone stronger comes along, he tears down the walls. He takes the armor. He frees whoever he wants to. What's the claim? That's what I do. Do you believe in that, Jesus? I mean, it feels like sometimes the Jesus we believe in is soft and kind and gentle, and he is. I feel like sometimes what we think of as Jesus is, man, we believe in a distant sacrifice on a cross. It inspires me to think I should be kind and giving too. I forget. I focus on the wrong things. I am not powerful. You are not powerful. Jesus is powerful. Jesus does what he wants. Jesus just says, yeah, the person that he is in this little parable is upon him, goes in and takes the muted man and frees him. Well, how incredible. He just did it. He's unstoppable. He's huge and massive and deep, and they're focused on the wrong stuff. He doesn't look like he's done much. He's a carpenter's kid from Galilee. His strength is that he is the strength. He holds the whole world together, Hebrews says. You're either gathered to him or you're scattered in a world that you don't have a lot of power in. You think you do. It's way scarier than you know. There are things that go bump in the night. There are powers bigger than us, but the actual truth is we have the strongest protector, the strongest strong man who rips you away from the enemy. That's the deal. Well, you know, there's other people that do exorcisms and stuff. You don't understand. When the unclean spirit's gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. Yeah. You think you've cleaned up, you think you've gotten rid of the demon, and they get out this exorcism and it takes them away, but boy, why doesn't it come back? It does, says Jesus. Can. When it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. So it goes in and it brings seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and they dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Why? Because they're focused on the wrong thing. I'm getting rid of the demon. Okay, what's next? What about protection? What about someone who's going to stay? What about someone who's going to make sure that they don't come back? What about the reality is you don't even know what in the world he's talking about? Have you seen the theology of how demons leave and they go through dry places? Where are those dry places? They all go to the Sahara Desert. And they wander around for a little and think, who should we go to next in Bellingham? No, we don't even know. He's speaking figuratively. He's talking about something, but I don't know what it is. And boy, the Catholic Church has made a ton of like things about assuming. Let's try and figure out what it is. But the reality is the text doesn't tell us. Jesus is speaking and he has a point. What's the point? It's not about where they go. It's about who's protecting you. Do you have a protector? Like a strong man. And we use strong man in a bad sense, and you can, and it can be used negatively in the Bible. But in this sense, when he uses it, the stronger man that tears down, that's Jesus. And he says, I've protected you. It's not like you just doing some act, like you're doing an act of power, and therefore, oh, yes, that's good. The trouble is, an act of power is over. I need someone to protect me all the time. Do I have that? Do you have that? And if the answer is yes, what does it mean? What might it mean that the God of the universe has said, you're mine, and I do not leave you alone. You're mine, and I will never leave you or forsake you. You're mine, and no one will take you out of my hand. You're mine, and your whole life long, I know it doesn't look like it. I know you're going to look and you're going to say, I'm not sure God's with me. He's with you. Why? Because he promises that he's with you and he's our protector. Without him, you're open to powers you don't even understand. That's the message. That's the idea. All the reasonable things we do, you know, there are no guard against Satan. Only the Holy Spirit. Only the new kingdom. The Spirit of Christ, who is our protector. We fight against the devastation of the world. We fight against things. We try and make the world a better place. It's all very good that we do so. Man, I don't want people suffering in hard things. My heart and my vocation was originally in medicine, where you see people who are suffering, you're trying to leave it. It's so good. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure how much it helps. I know it helps. If you have Christ. If you have the promise. Well, you're just saying that, Dax. Yeah, no, that's what we read this morning in John, right? I mean, that's what Jesus says. Let me put it back up there. Just this line from John. So if the Son sets you free, that's Jesus, you will be free indeed. That means nothing coming back to get you. That means protected by your life. That means he's got you for why? Because he's stronger. He's stronger than anything else. And if he says he's got you, he's got you. That's our Savior. This is what draws me, starts to help me focus, not on the wrong things, but the right things, which is what? Christ's strength for me. I take it with me everywhere. He's always got me. Doesn't mean he's going to do what I want. Of course not. He's God and I'm not. But never let that think he's not with you. He's strong. Okay, Jesus is stronger. If he has you, he has you. Let's do the next one, because he goes from there and he goes into that he is not just stronger. He's greater. Greater. As he says these things, verse 27. A woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So this voice calls out, right? The thing is, well, you're great, but really your mom's also the great one. She gave birth to you. I resonate with that. I think mothers are to be honored. But this is a little bit of a bummer for people who really exalt Mary. Let's put her up with Jesus. I mean, really, she gave succor to you, Jesus. She helped raise you, Jesus. And Jesus is like, no. It's not how blessed are those who've done something for you, not do something for God. That's the message. No, it's how blessed are the ones who gave you aid? No. The ones who hear word, keep it. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the good news. He's talking about the news that Jesus Christ has come, that he's here. These people won't receive it and won't hear it. But if you would hear and keep and treasure and pull in to you that this is the reality, that Jesus Christ has done it all and it worked. He protects you. He's got you. How blessed are you if that's the case, that the Holy Spirit's opened your eyes and we've received it. We see Jesus and lean. We treasure it inside. It's never what we've done for God, always what we've done for Him. And He keeps on going. As the crowds are increasing, He begins to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Okay, you guys. Jesus did so many miracles. Like in John's account, it says that books could be written that would fill up the page. But John said, these things are written so that you would believe. And the signs that he did, he healed people. He did. Incredible, huge miracles. But he said, actually those, he's not even calling them signs. He says, those have been acts of compassion. I had mercy as I healed the sick, cured disease, gave sight to the blind, leprosy gone. That's because I have mercy on people. That's my heart. But there is a sign. What's the sign? Well, the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. Well, the sign of Jonah. So think about this with me. That's an amazing book of the Bible. It's one of my favorites. We've done it several times. I want to do it again as I think about it. Right? It's like the prophet that ran away from God. He didn't want to go speak a word of mercy to the Ninevites. So he went the other way. I'm getting out of here. But he got tossed overboard into the depths of the sea. And he went down to the very depths that represents death. And then a big, huge fish comes and swallows him up in 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. And then he's vomited onto land. You know the story. The great sign of 3 days. It probably came to Nineveh, we think, white with the acid from the fish's belly. Imagine some guy showing up, all skin peeling off and white, and saying, God loves you. That's not what he said. He said, yet 30 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And they like, whoa. So a lot of people think he's talking about the 3 days. He thinks he's talking about the idea that the 3 days, like Jesus Christ, you know, he died and 3 days later he rose from the dead. The great sign of the resurrection. Yeah, that's cool. That's there. I mean, Jesus was 3 days in the grave. His greatest testimony in the gospel, death could not hold him. Amen? That's our Savior. This third day sign is a lot of places. I brought it up before, but just, you know, even in Genesis, that on the third day, dry land came out of the sea. On the third day, Isaac in Genesis was delivered from the knife where he was going to be killed by his father. At the direction of God, the spies in Jericho were delivered from death on the third day. Daniel was delivered from the lion's den on the third day. Esther was delivered from death on the third day. Jonah, you know Jonah. Okay, but back to the sign. So there is that sign. It's the theme. And Jonah's amazing story does show it, but really the whole message of Jonah is also a sign. Right? God has mercy on his enemies. The great and amazing God comes to humankind who will kill him, the ones who are not for him. Just as Ninevites, the Ninevites were enemies of Israel. They did terrible, despicable things to Israel. And here's God going to save them. That's why Jonah was running. He's like, you don't save those bad people. And when God does, he's ticked. Remember, he goes up on the hill and then God gives him this little plant and he gets some shade. And he's like, okay, thanks God. I could use some shade. And then God sends a worm and he kills the plant. Now God is mad again. God doesn't treat me right. God doesn't look at my circumstances right. God's not doing what I want him to do. Yeah. God has mercy on people who don't deserve it. And here I am, says Jesus. The strongest. The thing that Jonah was pointing for. This is the sign. I sent my son. It's huge. I mean, if you have a mind, it says the queen of the south will rise up at judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Who's greater than Solomon? Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm greater than Solomon. I have more wisdom for you. And I'm standing here. People traveled their lifetime to get to have understanding wisdom. And I'm here and you're rejecting me. You know how terrible that is because I'm greater. Who's great for you? Well, Jesus is. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The great and amazing sign of the love of God for a wayward and sinning humanity, Jesus Christ, who saves us. He's here. This is the sign that God sent his own to the worst, and he rescued them. Like Jonah wasn't happy, these people aren't happy. The sign. You and I need rescuing. God sent mercy. 3 days, three nights in death to show it, sure. But he's here. He's greater than any sign that has ever been of the work of God for you and me accomplished. He's for you. You simply receive that. Well, you say that's not the whole story, Pastor. You're cherry picking. You're not like, it's important to receive him, sure, but to act and to do and to follow. And there needs to be a light for Jesus. We're a city on a hill. We've got to be out there doing. What are we just talking about receiving? I don't like that very much. Okay, I get it. I think Jesus gets it too. He's not just stronger. He's not just greater, but I'm going to say he's brighter, but in a particular way. When you read the Bible, you got to realize these things go together. He's talking all the way through. They're not snippets like Proverbs where you take one and then he talks one over here and then there's one over there. And we just take, no, he's working through and showing them. And so he continues on, right? God has mercy on the undeserving. Jesus shines. That's the promise. And look what he says. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Okay. I thought you just said something different, Dax, but my mind immediately goes, yeah, I'm a light, and Jesus is going to put me on a stand. I got to make sure I shine so that other people can see, because I'm supposed to be shining for Jesus. I'm not shining. I'm doing something wrong. So now can we shift from this Jesus talk? I get it. Can we shift towards how I'm going to be a good shiner? That's where my mind goes. That's not what Jesus means. What? Yeah, look. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body's full of light. But when it's bad, your body's full of darkness. What? You do know what an eye is. If I say the lamp of your body is your eye, well, the lamp of my body is my heart. Out of my heart, what comes out is what I'm after, right? That's what we're after, is have good hearts so that what comes out of our heart is good, and that's our light. And you say, no, the lamp of your body is your eye. What does your eye do? Okay, we're not doing a science thing, but rods, cones, heard of that stuff? You got a retina, you got stuff like that, you got a lens. What happens is the light comes in, out from outside, it goes into your eye, and your eye receives the light. It doesn't produce the light. It doesn't, unless you're like, who's the guy? And like, there's a guy in X-Men who's like, stuff comes out of his eyes. I don't even know his name. Cyclops. Anybody got it? You guys, no culture anywhere around here. But normal people, what happens is there's light outside, and the whole idea is if the lamp of your body is the eye, then it's what you see, which means what you receive. The lamp that's on a thing is not me. That's Jesus. He's shining. Do I receive the light? What I really need to do is be a receiver. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not you go be light. My understanding goes upside down. If I'm a receiver, then my shining is in how I receive. Because what he says right there, right? When your light eye is healthy, when you actually receive this reality that Jesus is stronger and Jesus is greater, and the sign of Jonah, which is God's mercy on the undeserving, and look at his promise and it's for me, and I'm going to treasure that in my heart. It comes into you, this word of God that's hitting you right now that says, yes, this is the truth. And your eye that's healthy receives that, and your whole body is okay. Everything you do is going to be okay. Your life's going to be okay. You're healthy. Why? Because the thing that makes you healthy is the presence of God in Christ. By promise, this is what it is, right? I'm a receiver. I have Jesus. It's a little like last week. It's a theme, and these are close together with that verse. You have a Father. Because of Jesus, what he's done, your relationship has changed. He looks at you and goes, I've got you, kid. Jesus is stronger for us. Jesus is greater for us. And if we receive him, with that truth, that trust, everything changes. My whole body's full of life. I'm still floundering in sin. Don't get me wrong. I struggle, but I know with all my heart I'm new in Christ by promise. He has promised that he has me. He will not let me go. No matter how much I fail at trusting him, no matter how much I'm not quite where I need to be, he's still got me. And when I look at my circumstances and I say, I'm not sure God's really happy with me, I know it's not true because I'm receiving the reality. It's not just that he's happy with me. He died for me. He's got me. He's able to use me how he wants to. If you don't receive that, if you're still trying to get to Jesus and be like Jesus and be the light yourself and I guess emit from your eyes and your fingertips or whatever you think, that's the warning that he gives here at the end. Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body's full of light, having no part dark, it'll be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. This is how we're with Jesus. We receive him. This is being in him, accepting the gift that he brings. To have to know that you have nothing to give. You're an eye, not a mouth. You're an eye, not a light bulb. So this is amazing to me. The reality for you and me, that we focus on the wrong stuff. So what's the right stuff? The right stuff is coming again to receiving that Jesus is stronger than anything, and he's got you. Jesus is greater than anything, and he's got you. What I'm focusing on is the receiving of him. I want to focus on stuff that I don't matter. I want to focus on how to clean up my house. Yeah, we saw how that goes. I want to focus on how to build for Jesus, how to maximize glory, how to benefit and do. But Jesus comes along and he has mercy on the undeserving. That's the sign. And he has the power. He's greater than Jonah. The whole story, the whole Bible is pointing this amazing truth. And we saw it. We saw it earlier. We saw it in the Sunday school class. If you're not coming to Sunday school class, you're so missing out. No. Right here. Gideon, who's like this weak failure, and here's God who uses him anyway. Why? Because it's about God. It's not about us. This power to save is His. That's why I wanted to end with this verse. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we have. But the free gift of God, that's what you receive. A gift is something received. The eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Great good news. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for what you've done for us. We don't deserve you even a little bit, but we trust that you have us. Lord, help us to receive good news that you've given of what you've done for us. And Lord, we trust that you are strong enough to protect us. We trust that you are greater than any other word that might stand against us, that you came in your mercy for us. And Lord, I pray that we as a family, a church family, might receive that today in confidence, in assurance, in joy, that you've got us right now. Thank you. In your name, amen.